984. Really? Try mom. Tell him to go to favorites. It's mom.
Oh, I thought for a minute.
Oh, no. They're on. Call mom. Yeah, they're in North Carolina. I forgot. All right, so 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're going to talk to Bert Breer about the draft.
I thought for a minute when he went, what? I thought you were saying that they refused to come on. Like, that would be
well,
strange.
This is going to be funny because they're with other people. So they'll have to get
to explain the story.
They'll have to get the wrath of the other people. Yeah, that was something else. By the way, Bert Breer is going to join us to talk about the draft. He said, oh, I'm still in New York, which I don't know what that means. Well, the draft was in Dallas.
Yeah, that is true. Well, unless he's covering the Giants, which, by the way, Giants fans this morning were just jazzed that they took a running back at number two.
Really? Because the response at the draft was good, and I read the Daily News and the Post today, and all of them liked it.
You see, I saw all over Twitter people bitching. But, once again, Twitter, as opposed to what the media says, might be two completely different things.
Well, I'll tell you who's over the moon about Sam Darnold, and that's one Manish Mehta. Oh, and John,
would you not be? I mean, if you're a Jets fan, but wouldn't you be excited?
I don't know anything about him, except that he struggled this year. John,
well, I also know that his grandfather was, his name was Dick Hammer, and he was the original Marlboro man. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
He was like John Henry. He could dig holes through mountains. John, there is a story that there was a trade proposal by the Patriots.
That's right. This is according to the Detroit Free Press. Apparently, the Patriots were thinking interior offensive line the entire time. It wasn't, you know, okay, we'll take Isaiah Wynn because he's the best player on the board. Apparently, the focus was on the interior of the offensive line. According to the Detroit Free Press, Patriots tried to trade up from 23 into the teens to take Arkansas center Frank Ragnow.
Okay, so what we know is that with the...
Which is the guy who used to come out before Vikings games.
Ragnow! Yeah, he can play... He was the best center on the board and has played guard as well. So this guy didn't project as a tackle. This was an interior offensive line.
Yes. I think this is the first time you can officially say Patricia stabbed Belichick in the back.
By the way, all these leaked sources were saying that that kid was overdrafted. So I guess that's false.
Because the Lions wound up taking him at 20.
Yeah, right. So if the Patriots wanted to trade up for him and the Lions took him, I guess he did have a second grade.
So this was Operation Make Tom Brady Happy, then.
It sure looks that way.
It does. It looks like, let's go for it. Dad?
Yeah.
Do you remember when I was in Little League, before you started coaching, and the guy, I dressed in my uniform for the All-Star game, and I showed up, and the guy told me to go home?
Absolutely remember that. It was awful.
All right. Now, what did you do? Did you say anything to him?
I think I did, but I'm not sure. I know I was furious.
His kid sucked, right? His kid was terrible.
Yes. Yeah. and he favored his kid, which is the reason I got into coaching.
Yeah.
And I decided that I would coach, and I coached the next year, think we had a good experience all the way through, and yes, I loved the experience.
Did you want to beat him up? Did you have to restrain yourself?
I guess I felt like it, yes. I did. I don't know that I showed it. I remember we were in the parking lot, and I was just furious. I was shaking.
No, was I crying?
No, I don't know that you were crying. I think I might have been closer to it than you. I don't remember. But Lynn said I did talk to him. I was just, Lynn's right here, and I did talk to him. But it was awful.
All right, put mom on, because I want to know exactly what her memory of this thing is.
Hang on for a second.
Okay.
Let's see if I can get her.
She taking a dump?
Hi, honey.
So Dad really talked to him?
Oh, yeah. We were dropping you off because we dropped you off early.
Yeah, you were uninterested.
We were coming back for the game.
Why stay for the All-Star game? Yeah.
No, that's not it. We dropped you off like an hour early, and we were coming back for the game. But you had only been gone a couple of minutes, and we hadn't left yet, and you came back, you were not crying, you were just a little glum, but you weren't pouting or anything, you were just saying that, you know, he said he didn't need you. So, and we were very upset.
Now, you remember Dad said something to him?
Oh, Dad got out of the car and charged over there, yes.
Mm. What did he, do you know what he said?
No, because I didn't go with him. I stayed with you in the car, and he went over, and he just talked to him. I don't think he, you know, was obnoxious or anything. I think he just said that's not how you treat
now,
kids.
That coach was a jackass, huh?
Yes.
And he dressed in Phil Collins tour T-shirts.
He what?
Dressed in Phil Collins T-shirts.
I don't know about that.
Do you remember when I got the game-winning hit against his team later?
Yes, and I remember when you scored a touchdown when we played his team in football. So yes, you definitely got your comeuppance. He got his comeuppance. He got to see you shine.
All right, woman. All right, thank you.
All right.
Hi, Mrs. Toucher.
My dad didn't do anything. He don't remember. My dad didn't do anything.
So your mom was just backing him up.
My mom doesn't remember anything.
Oh,
she's old.
Okay.
She's kinda... I don't think that ever happened, Freddie. That never happened, Freddie. No, every time I start drinking at my parents' house, there's at least one night, Marty Blank, I hope he's dead.
Jesus. Hope he's dead.
Okay, so this was 4 years ago.
Because now I have a kid.
Because you know how much it would kill you if that happened.
Yeah.
And how much you'd be like, are you kidding me?
And I'm also coach. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I can't even fathom doing that to a kid. Okay. John, go ahead.
You know, Fred, you're such a fraud. It's ridiculous. You make your parents out to sound like they're neurotic. They're over controlling. They're just twisted and bizarre. They sound like the nicest, loveliest people, normal parents in the world. You're the freak. You're the one who's completely out of his mind half the time. Something happened. Did you take drugs in college? Did you get too many drugs in college?
So you know so much of my parents based on a 2-minute phone conversation I had with them where they knew they were on the radio?
Based on the buildup that you make your parents sound like, you are completely out of line.
Do you know that there's serial killers that can fool the police for months?
Fred,
did you ever hear the Bundy guy? He was a charmer.
Did you ever hear about the brown acid? How you're not supposed to take the brown acid?
I've never taken acid. I've never taken acid. I've never taken a hallucinogen.
I don't believe you.
I swear to God, why would I lie? I'd be super cool if I did.
It's really affecting what's coming out of your mouth these days, especially as it pertains to your parents.
These days? Man, how long have you been listening to this show?
Oh, my God. Since BCN.
All right, so you've heard that my personality has changed so much lately.
Well, fans seem to think you're grumpy recently, Fred, for whatever reason.
Yeah, aggressively quiet.
You know what? You've been with me now since 2009. Yep. That cycles through about once a year.
I know, but now we're on that cycle.
It's always in March. All right, so you got anything else for me, John? Any more insults?
He hung up. He couldn't take the heat.
And what is it with this town with fraud?
Like you're fraud.
Like everyone's running around saying you're a fraud. Like that's not even the right term for it. Right?
Being fraudulent about the way you represent your parent. I mean, it's okay, but it's just an overused word.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an overused word.
You're fraud.
I never said my parents weren't. I go to my parents' house 3 weeks a year. I'm obviously very close with them.
Just they did. Look at how I am. Do you think that this is why does it have to be drugs?
I'm getting a tweet. This is the first time I've heard Fred's parents. Definitely not what I expected. Seem like lovely people who, dare I say, love their son, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy,
I was fraud.
You're a fraud. I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna expose you. All right, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Saving Bank. There was a draft yesterday. Don't think we forgot, and we will talk about that with Burt Breer. But first,
it's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Texas style. I can't believe you guys are going
95, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. That was Roger Goodell flanked by Dallas Clark, Troy Aikman, and Roger Staubach.
Jason Witten.
Oh, Jason Witten, my problem.
Trying to make it so people would not boo them if they were on stage. Well, he was a little wrong about that.
Yes. Kevin, hello.
Yes, I just got to make a comment, please.
Sure.
I listen to you, Boomer, Gio, Golic, and Wingo. You got to be the only commentator that talks about family issues, like getting wake-up calls from an intern, their mother. With so much in sports, you talk about things that an infant. I used to teach in the inner city. Kids that have to take PVTA buses to make it to school.
They don't have any. I was raised way worse than that.
Well, you know what? Why do you have to talk about it like this?
Listen, I've been following the Mike and Mike path in radio for too long, but it was getting too derivative. We did a contest one time where the loser had to milk a cow, and I got called a hack by a lot of people. The whole idea that I would go to the vending machine and I would get a chocolate donut, and then Rich would have like a rice cake.
Yeah, it's what's different that makes us great.
And then we're called hacks after that. So I can understand your disappointment when put up against the excellence of the Mike and Mike show.
Now you're patronizing, and that's...
Yeah, because you're stupid. Because you listen to Mike and Mike, dummy.
I listen to sports. You would talk about sports.
Well, I'll have to go back and review my life. Because Kevin doesn't like the show.
Yeah, because you're stupid.
All right. Bert Breer.
He's a big fan of Mike and Mike.
MMQB.
He's not stupid. Right.
As soon as you say that you listen to Mike and Mike, it's like, all right. Nothing.
Just go, all right, well,
yeah,
just
good.
Tune you right out. Yeah.
You're not going to like the show. You're not going to like this show if you like Mike and Mike. You're not going to like reading if you like Mike and Mike. You're not going to do a lot if you like Mike and Mike. All right, go ahead, Bert.
Hey! Good morning, sir.
I don't know if you want to spill some more about your personal life before we get to the football time.
I know, Bert. I've crossed over a line. All right, so in your opinion, what did you think of the first overall Mayfield? Did that come as a surprise? And how long do you think that Cleveland was set on him?
I think they've been set on him for a while. At least John Dorsey has. Now, what I can tell you is going into their meetings, and I think this started April 12th, when they had their final set of draft meetings, they went in there with three guys in mind. And I know there were some people in that building who felt like it was going to be Sam Darnold, some people who were in that building who felt like it was going to be Josh Allen. And really at that point, you know, my understanding at least, of the big four quarterbacks, the only one who'd been eliminated completely was Josh Rosen. And so, I you give John Dorsey credit here. This is something that is you know, to do that in that city and where you know, he struck out on Johnny Manziel 4 years ago, and to take a risk on a guy who isn't a prototype and make a pick that could make you look really bad in 2 or 3 years, you have to have conviction on that. And so it doesn't surprise me when I heard yesterday that Dorsey's had this in mind for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Because if you are going to stick your neck out like that and take a kid who is, you know, was an incredible college player, a very accurate passer, a great decision maker, a great leader, all that different stuff, but different, then you have to be sure of yourself. And clearly John Dorsey was pretty sure of himself here.
All right, what did you make of what the Patriots did yesterday? That first pick was so boring that you knew it was as Belichick as it gets.
Okay, well, you guys know we've made fun of the Greg Schiano picks in the past, right?
Yeah.
Saban picks in the past. We've made fun of them taking all the Urban Meyer guys in the past. Well, we got a new guy to kick around, and that's Kirby Smart in Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah, I love Kirby Smart.
Bill was at that pro day down there, and I think part of this is, you know, when you're spending high-end draft capital like that, and they hadn't had first-round picks in a couple of years here, Bill really wants to bring in guys who he's got good information on, guys that might have some background in the same type of program that he runs. And I think that's a big part of both these guys, you know, and bringing in two Georgia guys is that he knows Kirby Smart runs his program at Georgia in a way that's not unlike the way Bill Belichick runs his program in New England. And he's going to be able to get good information on the Georgia guys. because you know he's got that relationship with Smart. Now, as for the player, Wynn was a name that I'd heard over the course of the last few days connected to the Patriots. I think what'll be really interesting here is whether or not he can play tackle, because obviously the glaring hole here is left tackle. That's the position that Wynn played in college. Most teams were projecting Wynn as a guard. I look at this, and this name is going to be, this name's not going to sound good to Patriots fans, but just follow me here. I look at this a little bit like when the Patriots took Brandon Merriweather in 2007. I'll just forget what he became, right? Okay. When they drafted him, they had a need at corner, and they figured we're going to bring him in and we're going to see if he can play corner. And they tried to play him at corner at first. And the idea was, worst comes to worst, we'll wind up with a really good safety. I think that the idea is the same here, where, you know, maybe you bring him in and you give him a look at left tackle, which is a huge need right now. But at the very worst, you have a really good guard with Shaq Mason going into a contract year. And so I think it's one of those picks where the guy can play multiple positions and maybe he fills that pressing need. But at the very least, you know, you're getting a pretty good player.
Now, what about Sony Michel?
Sony.
It's at the company.
Was he named after the company? The Betamax was a failure. Not a good song.
Maybe that would be it.
I'm not sure if he was named after the company or not, to be clear.
All right.
It's possible, though. So it was funny because I was thinking about the championship game, and I don't remember him that much from that game. But I, you know, obviously his numbers were excellent. What do you know about him, and what kind of running back is he?
Sure. Well, go back to the Oklahoma game. And if you look at that game, he played really well against Oklahoma in the semifinal in the Rose Bowl. You know, so he paired with Nick Chubb, and Chubb was sort of the between the tackles guy, more instinctive runner. And Michelle had always been, over the last couple of years, the more athletic guy, the more versatile guy. And so, you know, I think the idea is you get a guy who's got good size. I think he's over 220 pounds.
214.
And a guy who can play all three downs, right? And so this isn't, you know, a little scat back. This is a guy who you're going to be able to leave on the field in first and second down. And, I mean, look, you could wind up with a bargain here if his knee holds up. That's really the big question here, is whether or not his knee is in good shape. But, you know, I think the Patriots look at it, and they saw Rashad Penny go a couple picks before they were picking. And maybe you sort of feel that run on running backs going, where Barkley's going first, and there's going to be this clump of running backs. And there are a couple of good ones still out there today, Darius Geis from LSU, Ronald Jones from USC, obviously Winston Chubb from Georgia. You see Rashad Penny go to the Seahawks there at the end of the round. Maybe the Patriots figured that run on running backs is about to get going. We really like Sony Michel, and he may not be there when our next pick comes.
Bert, there's a report in the Detroit Free Press this morning that says the Patriots were thinking or trying to trade up into the low teens to get Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. Yep. And you mentioned that it's one of those things where you just bring a guy in. If he fits at left tackle, great. But if not, you have a plug-and-play guard. It seems, you know, taking this Detroit Free Press report into account, that this is a direction that the Patriots wanted to go.
Yeah.
They wanted to get front help for Brady right in front of him.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's interesting because that almost happened twice to the Patriots. You know, two players that they were, I mean, like, and I'm talking the last 48 hours before the draft, that they were heavily connected to, were Frank Ragnow, the center guard from Arkansas, and then Rashawn Evans, the linebacker from Alabama. And wouldn't you know it, Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel are the guys who get him. You know, so I certainly think that they did the work on the center guards. And one thing that was interesting about this draft is some of the strengths of the draft were positions that aren't necessarily great value positions. One's running back. There are a lot of good running backs. Obviously, you know, there's some questions to the value of that position in the league today. And then there were a lot of good center guards. And so, most people I talked to, and this came to bear, felt like there was going to be a run on the interior lineman somewhere in the 20s. And sure enough, you had it there with Ragnow going at 20 to the Lions. You have Billy Price going at 21 to the Bengals. And then the Patriots go and get Isaiah Wynn at 23, and you're going to see a couple more of them go today. So I think it was another one of the, you know, similar to the running back thing, where you see those guys start to come off the board. You like the group of center guards, the guys at those positions, and you go and get one when you have to get one. But certainly Ragnow's a guy who was connected to the Patriots over that short period of time, the 48 hours or so before the draft. And it's another one, John, you know, where there's a connection there. Brett Bielema, of course, at Arkansas. That's a program that Bill's drafted from a lot the last couple of years.
All right, quickly, who is the best quarterback taken?
I would take Sam Darnold if I were in the top five. I love Mayfield. I really do. And I think he's got great high-end potential. I'm not wild about Josh Allen. I think it's hard to fix accuracy. Rosen is just, it's hard to find guys with his personality who have made it, you know? And so I look at Sam Darnold, 20 years old. He's got a ton of room to grow. He hasn't even played quarterback that for that long. You know, he was a linebacker his sophomore year in high school. And he needs a lot of work. But I love the kid he is and the leader he is and, you know, the demeanor he's going to bring into New York. And I've got a couple great stories of having run into him over the course of the last year where you just feel this Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing with him. So I just think because of the person he is, and he does have talent, because of the person he is, I think he'll find a way to make it. So if it was up to me and I was pulling the trigger on one of the kids, not no scout, but, you know, I would have taken Sam Darnold. And I think the Jets were over the moon. They didn't believe this was going to happen until a couple of days ago. They were over the moon when it became clear to them that Sam Darnold was going to be available at number three.
All right, Bert Breer, enjoy New York City. MMQB, NBC Boston Sports, or NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, enjoy the college, Fred.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, Rich, what do you want to do next?
Well, you know what? Let's get into a little bit more of what happened at the draft yesterday. Like, Rosen...
Rosen is a bad boy. He's an idiot.
He wants to be the bad boy of football.
He's got an Eddie Money mouth.
I didn't even think about that until now.
And the first thing I go, that's an Eddie Money.
Like he's sideways talking, like he's telling a secret.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like he's giving you the 411.
All right.
Okay, so we'll talk all about that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
To make the announcement of the Pittsburgh Steelers selection, we are honored to have with us an extraordinary man who continues to amaze us with his unyielding determination and his unwavering spirit. We are so proud of him, and he inspires us all. Please welcome, joined by his fiancée Michelle, Ryan Shazier.
And with the 28th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Terrell Edmunds.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, apparently now you've done it, Rich, with your story. Apparently now all these hockey parents are calling in.
Oh, wanting to say their side of the story?
No, just like yelling at us.
Oh, the worst.
Oh,
Nick
really?
Nick went out to Dunkin' Donuts and...
What are the hockey parents saying?
Just, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, we got the information from...
We literally just, like, read the BZ story and played the audio.
And I said that to the woman that just wanted to yell at me. And I was like, you weren't listening. She goes, no, I wasn't listening, but I heard.
Oh, okay.
Have a good day.
So we read this WBZ story. We have a guy who calls in and says there's another side to it. And then everyone's saying that we're wrong. All right.
Yes.
Well, how about that?
Well, I think that she's down with the guy who said he was a cop that started giving out a telephone number, which we're not allowed to do on the air. And also, the woman started telling Dan how terrible our ratings are.
Thanks for listening.
Well, thanks for listening.
All right, appreciate that.
All right, what's going on? The draft was last night.
Yes, it was. That moment right there, by the way, Ryan Shazier coming out, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable and sad at the same time. The Steelers... to have their pick read, as you heard there, Goodell goes out there, and it's the one time he didn't get booed because he was mentioning Shazier. And when he comes out, he was walking on his own, and he had his fiance with him alongside of him. But it's one of those moments that is very inspiring, and it's awesome that he's able to do that. But at the same time, you know, it breaks your heart because they have yet to say whether or not he's going to return. I think he hopes that he's going to return, and I think that there's a reason that no one wants to say that he's done, but, I mean, there's got to be. After seeing that, how could he ever come back and play? And I know that they've, of course, said next year he's not going to, which is obvious. But it was a great moment, though. At least the guy can walk on his own because everyone feared the worst when he first had that injury. But one guy who fears no man and fears no injury and fears nothing in life, that would be the newly formed badass Josh Rosen, who I believe... this whole attitude of his, and maybe I'm wrong, it seems to be someone has been stoking the fire and trying to get him to show that he's got some sort of passion. Because wasn't that the biggest knock on him, is that he doesn't need this? But he comes from money.
Well, that's the thing that he's doing, is that he's showing himself to be a spoiled child.
Or is he passionate, Fred?
No.
Is it passion?
If this is his idea of passion.
Is it a chip on his shoulder?
If this is his idea of passion, then he is being schooled completely wrong. Because he basically dismissed the team that he was drafted by. He put down all the other quarterbacks, and then he dismissed the team he was drafted by.
Yeah, so a couple days he sacked up and started ripping on like these, like, oh, you know, there's people who are maybe flashier and showier than me, but you'll see in the end that I'm the guy who's going to be the last one standing. And he went and did all this stuff. So yesterday, he gets drafted 10th. Was it 10th?
Yeah.
10th. So he gets 10th, and he goes to the Arizona Cardinals.
He gets drafted in the top 10.
Top 10. So I don't even care who you are. If you're drafted in the top 10, I don't think you can play this woe is me. No, I'm the underdog. I've been overlooked.
It's not Aaron Rodgers sitting in the green room.
No.
It's not guys that are humiliated because they went to the green room and they weren't drafted at all.
And you sure as hell aren't Tom Brady. So standing there and saying that, oh, I've been ditched. This is him after the they interviewed him after he was, once again, if you're the Cardinals and you hear this guy saying
this.
This is his press conference, and here's what Rosen said.
You're the fourth quarterback to go. So talk about how that's going to motivate you going forward when you get to the Arizona Cardinals.
There were 9 mistakes made ahead of me, and I'll make sure over in the next decade or so that they're
going to pay.
Do you have the part where he said I was faking smiling?
No. Can you get that, Mike?
Yeah,
I did not.
He's at this press conference, and he says that he was pissed off and that he had to go up there and fake smile.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't have that? Yeah, that's the big thing. He said he says he was pissed off that he fell that far in the draft and that he had to sit there and fake smile when he got called up. So he's sitting there wearing whatever the hell stupid hat that the Cardinals have that I don't even understand. It doesn't say the Cardinals on it. It says something else. It's like some slogan, but I can't read. It's too small right here.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and so he's sitting there at a press conference, and he's a very attractive man. And then he goes on to say that, yeah, he basically completely is disappointed that he was taken by Arizona. If I'm a team, I'm pretty happy I didn't take Josh Rosen. And all these things about his attitude and everything are coming to play.
Even though, isn't he the most naturally talented guy? That's what we heard. Well, I've heard him, and I've heard the guy
Allen.
The Jets took.
No, Allen.
You see, Allen.
Allen's the most naturally talented physically. The makeup in the thing about Darnold is apparently that he's good at everything, but he's not the best at anything. So, you know, size and arm strength was Josh Allen. Pocket presence was Josh Rose. No, Allen. Josh Allen.
Allen has the great arm
and big size,
but not a good completion rate.
And then Josh
Darnold
Rose.
Darnold has physical gifts, but decision making is still a question mark. Forced the ball into coverage, that kind of thing.
Well, it was more. Well, he had 22 turnovers, and so did Matt Ryan his senior year.
Oh, yeah. No, but with Ryan.
Says Rise Up Red Sea.
Oh, here by the way. This is.
I'm more motivated than ever. I'm determined. I was pretty pissed off as I saw teams going by and passing on me. And I thought I was going to have to, after about, I'd say 4 and 5 went through, I thought I was going to have to fake a smile and pretend I was happy. But honestly, the second I got that call, it all went away. And I just basically motivation and determination set in.
Yeah. By the way, the grades are out. You like grades? You like draft grades? You a big fan?
They always hit the nail on the head.
Baker Mayfield, they get a C. The Browns, number 2, Saquon Barkley, a C+.
C+ for taking Saquon Barkley? Really?
They say they overvalued the running back.
Mm-hmm. They said, that's right.
All we heard was he's a franchise back, the best running back prospect in the last 15 years. You couldn't go wrong by taking him.
Well, it's not like the Giants are going to need a quarterback anytime soon or anything like that.
No, they're going, they're riding with Eli for the next couple of years. 37.
Sam Darnold to the Jets, which I thought was a great pick. They're saying it's a C, according to CBS Sports. They say safe pick, but I have my doubts about his game.
Of course.
They had to take a quarterback, but why not Josh Allen or Josh Rosen?
Well, I can tell you why not Josh Allen, but all right.
And I can tell you why not Josh Rosen.
You just heard it. I think the arguments are pretty obvious.
I thought that was a pretty solid one. Now, they give the Patriots for taking Isaiah Wynn a B. So they needed an offensive tackle, so clearly they have an idea to keep him there. Their guards are good, so moving him there might make sense. And you know who they really liked? They were a big fan of Sony Michel. They gave him a B. They said they get a nice player to take over for Deion Lewis. He's a perfect fit for their offense, and air back.
All right. Who got an A? I need to know this. Who got an A for the draft?
Whoever took Josh Allen got an A.
Let's see.
Arizona took Josh Allen.
Arizona.
Bradley Chubb is an A+.
I'm sorry. No, Josh Allen went to Buffalo at 7. Yes. I was confused.
That's talking about Josh Rosen. Allen is an A+ for Buffalo.
All right.
By the way, I love that we're going to be seeing some of these guys. And then Josh Rosen is an A. They got an A.
So the guy liked Cardinals. Allen and Rosen.
I liked Allen and Rosen a lot.
Well, you're not going to see Darnold for a year. Then you'll see him. He's 20 years old. You get to see McCown again twice, baby. You get to see him come in here, take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
He's old.
38?
He's 38 years old. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You want to come to Marymount Park? I will just school you and shoot on Get nothing.
98.5, this is Nikki Knuckles' house. And when I say who's
house, y'all know what I'm looking at the call screener right now, and I got to find out if this is really him.
Nikki Knuckles, identify yourself.
Yeah, who's this?
All right, that's right. That's the attitude. This is Nikki Knuckles. Nikki Knuckles, did Anderson ever show up to the park in Quincy?
Who, Anderson?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a loser. He's a fat loser.
Okay. Now, were you confident going into that Game 7 that the Bruins were going to win?
No, oh, I knew they were going to win. Like, look what they have. That team got a lot of heart. We got Jake DeBrusk. We got Charlie McAvoy. Good kid, local guy. He's going to be a guard of legend. He's going to be up there with Nick Boynton. He's a young Nick Boynton. The kid's unbelievable.
How'd you get the name Nikki Knuckles?
Exactly.
You know what, Toucher and Rich, we load stitches. Some things I can't say on air, brother. So,
did you masturbate a lot?
No, I'm real funny, pal. Real funny.
I take it you're good with your fists. Like, I mean, if you were in a scrap, you're able to handle yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. I think guys like you on my way to fight, buddy. Let's put it that way.
Excellent. So you're quite the street hockey player, according to what you were saying on the recap, huh?
I would like to think so. I got the Sherwood Paul Coffey curve. I call it the wrist breaker. That thing never failed me. I've had it for about 10 years. The thing's never failed me.
You've had a Paul Coffey stick for only 10 years? They made them?
It's a Sherwood Paul Coffey curve. The thing's unbelievable.
All right, so... you want to break down the series against Tampa. What are your feelings going into this?
Well, I'm playing a couple games of Keno right now, but I hop on the Peter Pan bus, shoot down to sunny up L.A. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Boston Hockey Bruins. Their organization is nothing. Their organization has gone downhill since they got rid of LeCavalier and St. Louis. They're nothing. They're a bunch of scrubs. They don't want to see the Boston Hockey Bruins. They don't want to see the Bruins. Kucherov, Stamkos, yeah, never heard of them. They're a couple of regular season heroes. They got nothing. They don't want to see us. We will roll them. We're going to go down there. We're going to roll them. It's going to be the Golden Knights. Kills me to say because I've been a Golden Knights fan since day one. Boston Bruins, Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup Finals. They call it right now. And we'll go down to Tampa. We're going to roll over them. Anyone who gets in the way, I beat up Tampa fans on my way to fight. They'll get their heads dribbled off the ground. It's not even going to be a contest. You think that their organization can step to the Boston Bruins? You're out of your mind.
So you're going to just like beat up random Tampa fans?
Yeah. You heard it in the interview. Yeah, you heard it in the interview.
Okay. Now, do you realize that you actually are going to one of those games?
Yeah, I'm taking the Peter Pan bus down there right now.
Okay, all right. So
and playing Keno, it's a very exciting time.
Now you've heard that this arena has a reputation of not letting fans of opposing teams wear their jerseys into the arena. That's a true thing.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when I get down there.
What would you do if they tried to remove your Bruin sweater?
No, it ain't gonna happen. I'm telling you that right now. It ain't gonna happen. So good luck with that.
Okay, all right, Nikki Knuckles. So, what did you think of Kadri, by the way, during that series?
Kadri? Mm-hmm. He's a weasel. That's all he is. He's a weasel. Him and Anderson go well together. The weasel and the rat, the both of them.
All right. Well, listen, Nikki Knuckles, stay in touch during this series. All right.
Hey, no, yeah, yeah. Well, we want to get your phone number, right. Nikki Knuckles. We're gonna need a man on the street if you're gonna go down there.
He's right on his way.
He's
down
on the
there
Peter
right
Pan
now.
Bus.
Yeah, he was not joking.
To bounce some heads off the concrete.
By the way, Nick Boynton, a stay-at-home defenseman, former first-round pick, never got more than like 5 or 6 goals in a year. He was just kind of their second, third line defenseman for many years.
I think Nikki Knuckles might be playing up the whole persona.
You think?
I'm going to.
You're saying what he's saying is not truthful?
He didn't give us his phone number.